Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us this week. Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for the mayor, you can still email those in to ask@wbaa.org. We have the mayor on the line. Good afternoon, Mayor Sheets.
Hello, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm great.
All right. Good to hear
it. Stay outside, loving it.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started with a big topic on this month's Ask the Mayor program with everyone. How local governments are handling the lifting of the statewide mask mandate. I saw that Clinton County commissioners weighed in on this for the county. So I guess, first of all, is Frankfort following the state's lead and lifting that mandate locally?
Okay, what we're doing is we're following the state lead along with what the commissioners have put into effect for the county. The only thing that we have not changed is for our employees, the City of Frankfort employees. We are still asking them to wear their mask, and also we're keeping Old Stoney under the same guidelines, the same protocol.
So masks will be required in Old Stoney in city government buildings. Does that also include, you know, employees like police officers and the fire department when they're out, you know, doing their job in the field?
Yes. We've asked the employees to continue to do that. We're going to review this, look at it again, probably in a couple of weeks, and see if we're going to make any changes on it. But we just felt like right now this is probably the best course for us to take.
Okay.
We want to keep our employees healthy and safe, and we feel like this would be a good way to do that.
So this obviously also impacts the rest of Frankfort and Clinton County. So aside from kind of city government, how have Frankfort's, you know, private businesses been handling the mandate? You know, have they chosen to go ahead and continue to require masks on their property, or are people also tending to follow the governor?
Well, in the small businesses that I've been to downtown, they still are requiring a mask. And also they have the sanitation stations when you go into the buildings. So I think that probably most of them are still continuing to do that. Now, I have heard, you know, like our bigger stores like Walmart, that type thing, that they're not enforcing it. You know, I think they still have it on there that they're asking them to, but I don't think there's any enforcement of it in any of the stores. So
I guess to that end, and, you know, I know that that can sometimes be a subjective when we're out in public and looking around and you're in a Target, you're in a Walmart, you're just kind of eyeballing how many people don't have a mask on, do you have a mask on? But, I mean, have you heard about, have there been any issues, I guess, with that, you know, that you've heard about specifically with people going into a business that's requiring it and then having, you know, the owner having an issue with someone?
You know, locally, I have not heard of any problems with that. I have not heard that, you know, anybody's gone into a store and not, you know, wanted to abide by what they ask, or I just haven't heard of any issues at all. So I'm thinking things are going pretty well.
So did you discuss any of this with the county health department? You know, who have you talked to about, you know, the path forward in terms of masks in Frankfort?
Okay, I did discuss it with my Board of Works. Of course, Greg Miller is director of the Emergency Medical Services for the county. So he's been in touch, you know, with officials and got some recommendations. So between all of us just kind of doing our research, that's how we came up with this conclusion. So
COVID vaccinations are obviously continuing across the state. And now, you know, 16 years of age and up are all eligible. So let's get an update on vaccinations in your area. I was just looking. It looks like the State Health Department reported 6,230 people being fully vaccinated in Clinton County. And I saw that the health department is holding a pop-up clinic on Saturday at the fairgrounds with Moderna vaccines. And it looks like they've expanded the number of appointments because of the pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccinations.
Right. And so I think that, you know, it's going to be good. I think Saturday is probably a good time to catch some of the people that work during the week that can't make it, you know, out to the clinic at that time. Also, our Walmart, our local Walmart, is offering vaccinations. And I heard that some of the teachers from the area have been going to Walmart as well. So I think the opportunity is there for them. I think now it's just getting the public, you know, to go and to get that vaccination.
And we've talked about that many times, you know, and I think again, vaccine hesitancy seems to be popping up more and more lately as a topic, as we kind of realize that we have a lot of supply. You know, again, I guess what's the latest, you know, what are you hearing, you know, from your constituents about whether or not they're getting vaccinated and why that is?
You know, I think right now it's probably pretty close to 50-50. It seems like people that I talk to, there's just as many that say they're going to do it that are not going to do it. I myself have taken the vaccine. I'm fully vaccinated. I've had my 2 weeks in since I got my second shot. But I still think it's a personal choice. You know, I think people have to decide what's best for them. And as I talk to the public, I hear that it's probably about a 50-50 with the ones that I've talked to that are going to get it.
So when someone says to you, I'm not interested in getting this, you know, what are the reasons people are giving to you about why they don't think that's the best choice for them?
I just think they're unsure. You know, they think that, you know, maybe it didn't have enough research, you know, and then the statistics on down the road, how that's going to affect us. I think they're just cautious on that because it was put in place so quickly, you know, and other vaccines have not had that done. So I think that's probably one of the biggest concerns.
So since you have been fully vaccinated, do you maybe use that in your conversations with people? You know, what reasons do you give people about why you decided to get vaccinated?
Yeah, I do tell them that I, you know, have had the vaccine. You know, I felt like that was a good decision for me, you know, for my own health, health of those that I'm going to be around. I will tell you that I do still continue to wear my mask. You know, I'm hoping that by some chance I could maybe protect somebody else and not, you know, affect them if there's some way that I could have that. So
do you, as we're talking about this Johnson & Johnson pause, you know, that unfortunately seems to have, you know, polling has shown that it has possibly impacted, you know, people's perceptions of the safety of the vaccines. You know, do you see that having an impact in your area if people look at this pause and think that that indicates that something is more broadly wrong?
I do think that will have an effect on people making that decision, you know, because I know, like my husband, he was going to go get the Johnson & Johnson, and now since this has come up, he's changed his mind. So I'm sure that's going to happen with other people, you know, not one or just wondering if this is safe, if this is what they want to do, you know, considering the side effects, that type thing. But yeah, I think it definitely will have an effect.
So could your husband possibly go to the pop-up clinic on Saturday if they're offering Moderna?
He could. He was hoping to get by with one shot.
Okay, you are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for joining us. We are talking right now with Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets. Okay, so I want to talk about some traffic right now. I'm seeing a lot of chatter about road work and traffic. So it looks like there's been some issues caused by road work on State Road 28. So I wanted to, just for clarity's sake, how far does that construction extend? Like how much of 28 are we talking about?
Right now, it is basically the intersection of 28 and 39. Now, that does extend down to west, almost to the jail, and, of course, Old Stoney that it's affecting. And also, then it is going, I think I said west, east, and then west onto Main Street. Now, they can still get across Main Street, Columbia Street. I know there were a couple of days we had it shut down for other reasons. Things haven't gone as expected. They, of course, got into some contaminated soil. We had a water main break. So it just seems like things have kind of built up, you know, just around that construction.
So and I do want to get to that that contaminated soil. I have a whole question to ask you about that. But I did want to ask, first of all, it looks like maybe, you know, detours are posted, you know, for people as they're driving. It looks like there's still been some issues with trucks coming through town, maybe not using that appropriate detour, and then maybe creating some issues because they're driving down a road that's not really intended for a semi truck. And have some semis gotten stuck on roads in town?
Yes, they've not been able to make turns when they, you know, needed to change their direction of travel. Also, West Freeman and West Armstrong and Frankfurt have viaducts. And that, of course, is the railway that runs over it. And semis can't get under that. So if they get down to there, they're going to have to back up, try to find a side street. And, of course, city streets are not for semis. You know, they're just not wide enough. And with parking on the streets, but some people are doing the detour like they're supposed to, and those things are happening, are just working great if they would just follow the detours.
And what is the detour, Mayor? What are they supposed to be doing?
Okay, they can come in from the west. They can come in, turn off on Prairie Avenue, or actually 200 South, and cut across to Prairie Avenue. They can go down to 200 South, and that which is Greenlawn Road, and they can get back out on the highway that way. Also, we are running some of them up Washington Avenue because it's still open until next week. But, of course, a lot of the streets, we have Washington Street, Cotton Street, people are still using them. It's just really hard for them to get turned, to get down them, like I said, with parking. But the big thing is if they would just use our detours.
Well, and so, and I've actually had this conversation with other mayors before, specifically about semis and detours and driving through town where maybe they shouldn't be. And then the question kind of is, too, what can reasonably be done if it's an out-of-state truck driver and they don't know about this closure, this detour in advance, and they just don't follow it? They strike out on their own. You know, how can people be, how can we inform those people if they don't really realize what they're getting themselves into until they're kind of in the middle of it?
Yes. And, you know, we've had extra patrol in these areas, like on our 39 and Armstrong, it's a very popular intersection in Frankfort. We've had extra patrol cars out there trying to direct people. We've had it also where we've asked them to go straight on 28 there at Hoke Avenue, but people still don't abide by what we've asked them to do, you know, and then they get stuck in a situation they can't get turned and they get in people's yards. I mean, we've had, you know, damage done, unfortunately.
And so you're talking about, I mean, you're essentially sending local law enforcement to deal with some,
yes,
of these traffic issues. So what's the impact of that?
Well, we've been having at least three officers on duty, and that's extra patrol. I will tell you that has also gotten into our overtime budget a lot because, you know, that's just things we're not expecting. But I think it has helped a lot to keep the traffic out. But I know the other day, the street superintendent told me that he had five semis go clear up to the intersection, went through barricades, everything, and got clear up to where the intersection, they can't get through any further. And it's people trying to get through town. They're not making a local delivery or anything. So they're just really not either reading the detour or just decided they're going to go as far as they can until they can't go any farther.
Well, I saw a picture, and it did look like a literal street barrier had been set up, essentially to, yeah, allow local traffic through and to, as you said, stop the semis. So they're still just coming right up to that.
Yes, yes, and they'll go around it. Because, you know, we leave it open enough so that local traffic can get to their homes. That's important. But those semis just will go around it and just keep going right up to that area.
So I guess, first of all, so we're talking about, you know, overtime and local law enforcement dealing with this. You know, probably some of this was to be anticipated. But were you, I mean, this is a project that's going to be lasting for a little while now. You know, how much were you anticipating this was going to be this level of an issue where you would have to redevote resources?
Right. And we did think that we would have some situations, you know, that we'd have to deal with through all of this. But actually, the 2839 intersection was supposed to be completed last Friday. So it was supposed to be a five-day project. That's all NDOT thought. You know, they said, oh, it's just going to be shut down for 5 days. Well, then, like I said, of course, we have issues that come up, you know, contaminated soil. You know, then we get a water main break. And there's just different things that have happened that has delayed that. We're hoping by the end of this week or the first part of next week that it will be completed.
So let's talk about the contaminated soil. So and correct me if I'm wrong here. So Jackson and Walnut Streets were closed to install a new water main. But then the contamination, that was the word, was found in the soil. And the Indiana Department of Environmental Management is analyzing that now. So I guess,
right,
first of all, how was contamination found and what kind of contamination is it?
I have not heard that they've heard any results yet, you know, on what that is in that soil that's making it contaminated. But I guess what happens is that the environmental specialists come in, they evaluate it, and they can't move it until they have that figured out so they'll know what area to move it to.
Moving the soil.
Yes, because that soil will be removed. Right now, it is stacked in the street, covered on west of that intersection.
So,
but they can't move it until they figure that out.
So how much, I mean, how much soil are we talking about?
Oh, it's, I don't know, you know, like the weight or the square mm-hmm. footage or anything like that. But it's quite a bit there, and it's right there by the Farmers Bank. I'm going to say probably a block, half a block long, a few feet high. But they have it covered up. But the thing that, you know, always concerns you is when it rains or, you know, water gets there, and where is that contamination going? So we're anxious to get that off the streets.
So would anything else have to be done, or would there be a more thorough investigation to any other contamination in that area? Or is it just a matter of determining what the contamination is and then getting it out of there?
Yeah, I think right now it's just determining the contamination and getting the removal of the soil.
Now, I read, I believe someone said there is now or used to be a gas station at that corner. Do they think that had anything to do with it, or do they know, you know where this came from?
And that's what they said, you know, probably could be from gas stations. We actually had, in earlier years, more than even one gas station there at that intersection. So, you know, it could be from many years ago, but most recently we had one gas station, but I know in the past growing up, there's been more than that.
So this kind of process, you know, are there, I guess, to the extent that you are knowledgeable about this, you know, are there other areas in town where you think we might want to take a look at that type of issue, you know, depending on what item comes back with?
You know, I think any time that you look at projects or you look at construction, you always have to keep that in the back of your mind, you know, that there could be a problem like that. I don't know if you're familiar or not, but when they started Prairie Creek Park, we ran into the same thing.
Well,
contaminated soil when they started getting in there. So I think any time that you have a project or construction, anything, you have to think that's a possibility.
So another, I will ask one more road work / traffic construction question here. It looks looks like starting this past Monday, new parking restrictions requested by the Community Schools of Frankfort and approved by you and the Board of Works went into effect on specific stretches of Jefferson Street and Morrison Street. So residents can only park on the north side of the street. And the city's statement on this says, due to the imminent closure of Washington Avenue, local school buses are seeking alternate routes that will allow the safe pickup and drop off of students when parking is permitted on both sides. These side streets are too narrow to allow the school buses to pass through safely. So when was this first raised as a possible issue? When did everybody realize, oh, wait, the school buses are not going to be able to fit down these side streets?
Well, our street department superintendent, Jason Forsythe, has been in close contact with the schools. So this is something that's been on our mind probably for the last 6 weeks or so. You know, exactly what are we going to do? I'm sure it was before that, but I mean more intense mm-hmm. conversations. Let's get this fixed probably within the last 6 weeks. And that's the best solution that we thought we could come up with, that we could keep, you know, the buses able to transport the kids, keep them safe. And, you know, knowing that Washington Avenue was going to be closed off, that's one of our main streets in Frankfort. So it was a necessity. It's something we had to do. I know that makes a little difficult situation for the residents that live on those streets, but we're hoping to have this project finished by November. So hopefully they can bear with us for a little while longer.
So the parking will obviously be impacted for people who live on those streets. In terms of just thinking about kids getting dropped off or picked up, you know, does that impact any of that for any school families?
I'm sure that has some impact. They're probably going to have to change their bus stops somewhat. But I think it would be fairly safe for the kids down in that area. It's a more quiet area. Actually, it's less traveled than Washington Avenue is. So I think it would be very good for the safety of the children.
So this, the Washington Avenue project, you said, is kind of getting underway next week?
Yes. We had planned on starting and having it closed down this Monday, but now it seems like they're just going to work at intersections right now, or just sections of Washington Avenue. So we're not going to totally close that down until next Monday.
So, you know, is everyone ready for this? What does everyone need to be aware of as we're heading into this major kind of closure?
You know, we have put it out on social media. We've tried to have the street superintendent, police department, talk on our local radio station, with our media. So we are trying to get that message out. We actually put barricades on certain sections there, so people can still get through to their homes, but they're aware that Washington Avenue is going to be closed down.
So it sounds like there's just a lot of projects happening simultaneously, kind of intersecting with each other. Some are going to wrap up more rapidly than others. Some, like this project, are going to last close to the end of the year. You know, how do you, I guess, keep people from getting confused about which closure is happening at what time, when, and where?
And, you know, like the State Road 28 project, that's been in the making for probably 2 to 3 years right now. So it's something that we knew was going to happen. Also, Washington Avenue is another opportunity that the city had to get that road repaired with help from NDOT. It just so happened that the projects happened at the same time. I mean, it wasn't planned that way. It's just the way with the timing and how it ended up.
So what would you say to residents about, what's your message to them as they're embarking on these next months of construction? What words of wisdom and advice would you give them?
And, you know, I've said, I understand their frustration. I do. It is frustrating trying to get across town, but I think we have to be focused on what this is going to do for our city. You know, the great improvement it's going to be. It's something that needs to be done. If we can just get through this, be patient with us, follow our detour signs. And we've had people call in and, you know, unhappy about things, but we're asking, please just be patient with us. We're trying really hard. Our police department, street department's working really hard on getting this settled. So if they just stay patient with us.
So some other big upcoming projects were a focus at this week's city council meeting. Looks like there was a presentation on the plans for the new police station. So I saw that it's 28,000 square feet, and the current station is around 11,000 feet.
Yes.
So tell us about some of the elements of the new station. What did you see this week?
Okay. Some of the things that I am really pleased that we're going to be able to do is they're going to have a garage where they can bring vehicles in that they've confiscated. They are going to be able to search those vehicles. They have an area where they can do it. It's going to be enclosed. We're also going to have a garage where our vehicles can get pretty much general maintenance, probably not the, you know, the bigger maintenance, but they're going to have that. We're going to have a great training area. They're going to have a big conference room that I think is going to be used not only by our department, but other departments can come in and use it for training as well. Of course, it's safety for our officer as well, for the suspects or the people that come in, because the rooms are going to be separated. There's going to be more security. So I think it's just going to work out a lot better for all of us. Administrative offices are going to have more room. They put a lot of work into this design to make sure that it's going to be what they need.
So when does that kind of transition start happening at the current station? You know, how do they start kind of moving stuff around there in readiness for kind of a new home?
Our police chief said he's already started packing.
Okay.
So I think he's in a hurry. But some things they will take with them, some of the equipment. You know, there's different things that we have that we've bought recently. And then otherwise, a lot of it's probably just going to be like computers. We're hoping to take some of our desk with us, you know, some different equipment that can just be used in the new facility.
So what are the plans for the current station once the new facility exists and the old one is vacated? You know, what happens to that space? I've seen a few people asking about that, a few suggestions floating around, you know, the idea being that we have this building, you know, let's do something with it. What are you thinking about that?
We have reached out to different organizations to see if we can get people interested in it. Of course, the Frankfurt Public Library is right there behind the police station. We're hoping maybe they'll show some interest in it. We've talked to other, like I said, not-for-profit organizations, see if they'd be interested in it for office space. We don't have anything set in stone yet, but we have been in discussions.
Okay. Looks like the Aquatic Center, also discussed at the meeting. What's the latest update there?
Okay, so that's exciting as well. The council decided to let me go ahead and sign off on a redesign by HWC so that we can move forward on coming up with exactly what we're going to have for the pool. We're going to have to make some cuts from the original, I believe, to stay within budget. Concession stands was going to be a really elaborate concession stand. We're going to have to make some cuts in that. We're still going to have a concession stand, but just not to that extent.
When I'm curious, Mayor, when you say elaborate concession stand, what do you mean? Why, is it a very fancy?
They said that it was commercial grade grills, exhaust, you know, the fans, that type thing. Mm-hmm. So they had it set up that it could be used almost restaurant style.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're hoping to cut it back maybe to what you would expect at a concession stand, you know, keep it more like hot dogs and ice cream and pop and candy and, you know, that type thing. We're still going to have concessions, but not to that extent.
Okay.
Because at first they had talked about totally doing it with a concession, and I would never be in favor of that. I think you've got to have a concession stand at a swimming pool. So
it does seem like those two things go together, if I recall correctly, from going to the swimming pool as a child. Yes.
So that's me too. I'm like, no, we've got to have concessions.
So the concession stand will be not, it won't be elaborate. It will not be restaurant grade. And then a few other things had to be cut or altered somehow.
Yes, we did look at maybe the lap. We have a lap pool. And it was set up for 8 lanes, I believe. And we're looking now at whether we're going to maybe keep it, you know, for 6 lanes or exactly how we're going to handle that. You know, because if we have competition, we think people are going to use it for that. We need to keep it at 8 lanes is what I've been told. But if we're going to use it just for purposes of people being able to come out there and do lap swimming, we could get by with less. And also there's a slide that's in question that goes into that same area. So if we'd have enough room to have a lap pool along with that, they said like a drop slide, which I'm not familiar with, but they said it drops down from about 6 feet in the air, people go into there. So those are a couple of the things that we're looking at that, you know, may have to be changed for now, but still going to have the lazy river. We're still going to have the zero entrance pool part of it. There's lots of things we're still going to be able to have.
Okay, that is our time for today. Mayor Sheets, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, wbaa.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.